Okay, and here we are. And for those of you who have been watching and listening to the program and viewing the site, you'll know that David D's first book of his magnificent art is now out and is being sold. We have sold out of the special edition, but we are selling the regular book real fast. And if you look down, you'll see a big square, The Political Art of David D's, Volume 1, 2006 to 2013, soon to be 2014, in fact, in less than 2 months. It's crazy now. Hello, David. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. It's a good Saturday night here. And actually, it's Friday night. That's right. Halloween was last night.
You're in good shape.
Yeah. Okay. I got my days mixed up now, but it was wild in town last night.
You dressed up as David D's, did you?
It was kind of a space hippie. I had the green hair and the cowboy hat with a skull on it. It was pretty amusing. I got pictures I can post for you.
Yeah. Well, many towns have a good time at Halloween, and certainly the town you're in is one of the ones that does. Sometimes it's cold down in the 30s. I guess it wasn't too bad last night. Much of the West Coast has been warm.
It was beautiful. So thank you for inviting me on again tonight. We are going to talk about the new book that I've created, and it's 7 years in the making. It has 114 full-page, full-color illustrations in it. And, over the years, I've been doing the splash art on rents as my expression, my passion is just to expose the bad guys and do what I can to alert people that what's happening. I talk about vaccines, I talk about chemtrails, all the conspiracy theories turns out, are backed by a lot of facts. And so I try to illustrate these things with not using text. It's all images. If any text is in it, it falls naturally in the environment, such as a sign or a book or something. But they're really effective at waking people up and exposing them to this information that is just not happening on the mainstream media that's controlled, by who? The Zionist and, the government. So this is a great opportunity to wake your friends up. I mean, you hand them this book. I've been watching, I've been showing this around, and it's incredible when you see, especially people that are even skeptical of this sort of information. They are fascinated by it. So it's a great thing to have in your arsenal of talking to people. So.
Yeah, here's something that I've talked about, we've talked about for a long time, and that's, in fact, somebody called in when Helene was on earlier, and he's just going through the door of awareness, and it's overwhelming him, and he asks the question, am I insane? Am I going insane? Because it can do that to people. And what I would suggest, and this is something I haven't thought of before, but people who are beginning to wake up and beginning to avail themselves of the information that is on the internet really should get this book. Because if you sit somebody down who is in that early state, or any state, but especially the earlier stages of figuring it out, or at least trying to, David's art will just, boom, move them right along the tracks real fast and give them clarity of vision. It does that.
It is a fast education. In fact, I've done over 500 pieces of these of the illustrations, and when I had to go through them and pick out the 114 that was.
I don't know how you did it. You sent a batch to me, and I could. I couldn't.
It was hard to do, but there was ones that just stood out that had to be in it, and I really pulled the top plums, the best plums, right off the tree. This, it was almost like. I held nothing back. These are the best of the best. I mean, if you got this, this is like a greatest hits. This is like 7 albums of greatest hits.
That's so true.
Yeah.
The hits keep on coming in this book, one page after another. And if you sit somebody down and put that book in their lap, even if they don't get it, they're going to start looking at this and they're going to go, wow. It is such an amazing page turner. And it's not a fast page turner because each illustration has many layers of depth and understanding and wisdom and awareness. They're all there. They're different. but they all have multiple layers that you can explore. And you've all watched David for years. But this book, again, and we said this last time, is so stunning in its color reproduction. I mean, I've published things before. I can't believe the colors that they're getting now.
I know, it's stunning. It's as good or better than even the digital. You know, I've been looking at it only on computer, you know, for all these years. I've never seen it printed out. I did try to print it a couple of times with other printers a couple of years ago. It didn't work out. But now I finally got the format. And I know that it's going to be a book, too. And every piece I design, you know, there's a new Sheeple magazine. It's issue number 17. I'm up to 17 now. And Fukushima is Here is on the cover.
Where is that? Does James have it?
I did send it today, yeah.
Yeah, I told him to post it. It's not up yet. It should be posted momentarily.
Go ahead and put that up, because then I want everybody to go see this. You know, you pointed out that the talk the guy gave about...
On the video.
Yeah, on the video. He simply was saying, look, here is what's happened, and here's what's going to happen, and you're just not going to hear on the mainstream news. This poor guy sat at his computer and just... He just broke down and said, no, it's over. I mean, there's a cloud of radioactivity coming across, or it's already across the Atlantic Ocean.
It's been around the world several times. Do you know, David, when this is over 800 days now since 3/11, when this thing happened, within the first month, the only intelligent advisory that I ever heard any governmental agency give the public came from Europe. It might have been the EU itself, but many countries in Europe advised all pregnant women and all children not to eat any green vegetables, green leafy vegetables or dark green vegetables. They seemed to have an ability or propensity to pick up more radiation. They were getting measurements then. They didn't say it, but they said it's best if you don't eat that. Now, that was the first wave around the world. That was the only warning I heard. Not a damn word from this government. Nobody was told anything.
Right.
But if you look in the center under the Fukushima disaster, you'll see it. There's a green watch, WATCH, watch this, watch, right in front of the title. It's right there, and it's 45 minutes long, and I urge all of you to look at it. Just sit down and look at the doggone thing, because it covers everything that we've talked about here and then some. You saw it, David.
I did see it. It had a big effect on me. That's why I did the cover of Sheeple on just Fukushima. And you'll see there's a dolphin that's coming up to the surface, and there's the sea life around him is dead. And the way the cloud of radiation is coming across the Golden Gate Bridge. I think that when people see this cover, you know, Sheeple magazine is not really a real magazine, but it appears to be, and it. You know, people want this magazine. I wish there was somebody that could afford to pay to have this magazine made. But it's one of the best, and it's certainly going to go into book number two. I'm looking forward to every piece I design now. I think in terms of volume two, because I think I'm really onto something here with publishing this book. It's such a good looking item, and in time for Christmas.
This is really a timely. Now the book, if you've got somebody with bricks for brains, you know, it's how much is it, David? The cost?
$29.
$29 plus shipping.
Yeah.
$35 altogether. I ship priority mail. Don't waste your money on people. You know people with the doors shut. Sometimes it's shut and welded shut. Don't go there. But anybody else who is interested in what's really happening and who gets it and says, yeah, that 9/11, something wrong there. This is a book for them. Or buy yourself the book and share it with them. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
you know,
book,
our friend,
it's great.
Go ahead. Our friend Michael Hansen, you know, he just wrote me an email today. He says, give me 10 more copies of that book. And I wrote back and said, wow, you are Santa Claus. He says, no, I just want to wake people up. So, you know, that's...
Wonderful. Wonderful
that's
idea.
Right attitude.
Okay, the new... Sheeple magazine, issue number 17, is up at rents.com. So reload the page, and let's all go take a look at this cover. It's another D's classic.
Well,
and we're going to put You got to send, when you can, send all the 17 to me. We'll put them up as a separate archive because they are becoming a tradition now.
Look at that. That looks fantastic. I mean, is that the scariest thing you ever saw?
It is, and one of the scariest, well, it's horribly sad, horribly true. And you look at the radiation symbol in the mist that's moving toward the San Francisco Bay, which is a big fog bank full of, obviously, radioactive material. But that looks like a face.
It does. It looks like it's screaming.
Did you? It does. Did you mess with that image at all, or is that just how it came out in that particular presentation?
It's just the way it's set in there. It just has form to it for some reason. I never really looked at it that way before, but it
No, but
good.
From now on, that's it,
I know,
boy.
I know.
Everyone's got it twisted this way or that, and you've got it set up so it's human-esque. And it's
great
right
piece.
There. Okay, there it is. Issue number 17. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Okay, and we're back talking to David Dees. The Fukushima story, again, is, well, it's really difficult to state things now that are so bad that they almost defy description. And this one is potentially that bad. And the 1,500 fuel rods, 1,300 used, spent fuel rods, and 200 new ones are going to, this week, begin to be attempted to be extracted from spent fuel pool 4, reactor 4. And it's not going to work. It just isn't going to work. TEPCO, all of a sudden, if you recall and you follow the timeline, you'll know that TEPCO has dragged its feet, lied, dissembled the whole way, all the way since day one. Lie. Now, all of a sudden, they've accelerated and ramped up their program to deal with this spent fuel pool issue. And people, there's a story up there asking why. Well, the answer is the building's going to fall over. That's the answer. Because this water's been being poured into the spent fuel pool and then pouring out onto the ground for years. And the ground is saturated. The building is sunk. This is an admitted number, 31 inches on one side. It's a wrecked building. And if that whole fuel pool with 400 tons of fuel rods hits the ground, I think it's more than that. I think it's 1,200 tons. At any rate, these fuel rods are 4 meters long. They're about as thick as your thumb. And I believe that there are 4 of them per assembly. And the assemblies are shown at the top of the pictures of the spent fuel pools as a round handle that the hook on the crane grabs, a steel handle, and pulls these things in slow motion straight up and out of the water and quickly moves them over and puts them down in the reactor. And then it pulls the used ones out when they're done, brings them back over and puts them back in the fuel pool. Well, these rods are all covered with rubber, boronated, like boron, boronated rubber. And that keeps the rods from igniting if they were to touch each other. Well, unfortunately, most of the rods are no longer covered with boronated rubber because the water level drops so low that the radiation in the fuel rods ate the rubber right up. So how are they going to do this? It's really impossible.
You asking me? It looks like we're going to need some help from ET probably.
I'm that's not a joke either. Unless we're hiding technology that can transmute radioactive elements into non-radioactive elements, we got a problem. But look, when you look at this video, that again it says watch in green letters, you'll understand that the graphs they show us are basically 800 times behind where we are now. the ocean is 800 times more polluted than the big picture. It's not a graph, it's an image, a representation of the Pacific. We have watched the death of the greatest ocean on the planet. It's gone for thousands of years minimum, unless technology shows up from some benevolent species and can straighten it out. It's that bad.
Well, we know they're here. We know they're here, and we know they're watching, and we know they protect this planet. What I heard from the Billy Meyer case, as they told him, is they said, you guys can on Earth can have wars and kill yourself all you want. You can do that. We're not going to stop you. But at the moment you're going to blow the planet up, we'll step in. And they have stepped in a few times because there's been a bunch of maniacs with bombs that through history that have, you know, now that with this new technology, they can blow the planet up or pull the air cover off. And that E.T. did step in and change things, change people's minds, change their minds or simply...
Let's do it this way. Let's go to Malmstrom Air Force Base in the 70s, where there were a number of intrusions in the base, over the base, by unidentified flying objects, glowing, illuminated objects. And they went right over the ICBM missile silos and interfered with the control mechanism down below. They did the same thing in the Soviet Union. They went over these ICBM bases and actually in one case started a countdown of one of the batteries of missiles. I don't know how many were in the battery. And the firing launch sequence was enabled and it was counting down. And the Russians couldn't stop it. They were powerless. They had no control whatsoever over the countdown. And I would submit that what David's saying is worth considering in light of those absolutely documented cases. We know that 10 of the missiles at Malmstrom, I think it's 10, were completely knocked offline. We had no control over them. We know the Russians had a problem. So maybe somebody was here saying, don't mess, we got control, just give it up. Of course, we're not giving it up, but that was the apparent message. What you're suggesting is probably true.
Well,
they know,
good,
they watch, yeah.
Certainly is a good subject for doing some illustration. But,
The Rendlesham Forest case in the UK, Rendlesham Forest, where the Americans had nuclear weapons in underground bunkers that we weren't supposed to, during the Cold War, and the Rendlesham Forest UFO case, one of the objects was above the hidden bunker, shining red laser-looking, I don't think there were lasers, but laser-looking beams of light down into the bunker, maybe counting warheads, maybe doing, we don't know, but they know where they are. So I've got to go along with the idea that we are being watched and there are no secrets.
There are no secrets. Well, on that note, what do you want to talk about? How about the book here? I got the book in my hand. I one thing I included. Is it okay if we talk about the book?
What book? Oh, yeah. Of course. We've got the new Sheeple cover-up. We didn't finish with that.
Oh,
we
might
want to mention that David in the upper right corner, if you can't see it, has a picture of one of the melted, they call them melted starfishes, starfish up in the northwest. Off Victoria, B.C., and now off Washington. Masses of starfish just falling apart. Goo. 80% of the salmon did not come back this year. Enormous schools of herring found missing or bleeding from their eyes and gills. This is radiation. Seals diminishing all the time. Bizarre behavior of killer whales in Puget Sound. Bizarre. More deaths, far more deaths than are normally reported. The Pacific Ocean is dying. And at the bottom of the page, that mariner who sailed from Osaka to San Francisco, 4,000 miles, 3,000 nautical miles, has done it a number of times before, and he's always been just amazed at the life in the ocean. Incredible life. This trip, he said, there was none. He saw 4,000 miles, ladies and gentlemen. He saw two fish, one bird, and one whale kind of lying on the surface with a big tumor on its head. That's all he saw. That's it. Anyway, the cover is up there, number 17 in the rather infamous series of Sheeple magazines. Okay, David, go ahead. Oh, we got a break. We got a break.
Oh, okay.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about the book. Now, ordering the book is really simple. It's $29 plus shipping. Just look, scroll down. There's a big ad for it right there. And you can click and buy right now. 114 full-page, dazzling color illustrations. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, here we go. Now, it's just an amazing story. We'll get to the book here, but I'll run this tonight. TEPCO, which has been behind this whole grotesque, intentional mismanagement of the Fukushima calamity, is reporting a big fat profit this year. It's just amazing. Just the whole thing is amazing. All right, David, go ahead.
Oh, where should we start? You know, one thing I did want to talk about is that a friend of mine, or a guy that I met, you know, who was doing the political art, he said, you were some sort of a mythical beast. No one even knows who you are. All they see is the art. You know, there's no biography on you. They don't know where you came from. So in the book, I sat down and I kind of wrote a history of where I came from. I even mentioned that the first line is, I was introduced to the world of art by watching alongside the easel of my father's hobby of landscape and Civil War scene oil paint. And my father, he was a school teacher, and when I was 5 years old, we were in New Orleans. This is a story in my mind that I so finally remember, was we were kind of window shopping when all the shops were closed, and he saw a painting, a landscape, a snow scene. And he really loved it, and he wanted to buy it, and he went in the next day, and it turns out that it was too expensive, and he said, well, I'm just going to paint me one. So he stood there, and he sketched it out from looking at that painting, and he went home and he painted himself one. He just got some paint and said, and there it was. You know, it was pretty impressive when you're five to watch your dad do that.
I'd say.
And that started his whole hobby of painting. And a couple of years after he'd done about 10, 15 paintings, he said, I want to do a Civil War scene. And he got all the reference. You know, he got the horses and the cannons and the soldiers. And he was going through history books and looking at all the stuff. And he started sketching it out. And by golly, after a month, he finished it. And there it was. It was a whole scene with explosions and soldiers marching around. And I was going, wow, this is a lot of fun. So that's my exposure to art was through my father painting, and I eventually went to art school. But
is he still around?
No, he smoked. You know, you can't smoke three packs of Camels a day. And
oh my God!
Yeah. Well,
his paintings? Where are they?
My mother has them.
Mm-hmm.
So and then
it'd be
I
fun
to
do a little tribute to him on your site somewhere.
Well, I did dedicate the book to him and to my cats and to you, actually, because, you know, you have been instrumental. Well, you understand that without you, I don't think this really would happen at all. I mean, it's the yeah. platform and the exposure and your cheering me on. It was awesome. So.
Well, that's always been just a real, real treat for me to be involved with it in the little way I am. It's great.
But then I went into commercial illustration out of art school. I started in advertising. I was in an illustration studio where we're doing newspaper ads and magazine ads and posters.
Uh-huh.
Doing product illustration. And then I headed out to L.A. And then got in the entertainment industry and was designing video covers for all the major studios. Disney, I did a few Disney stuff, a lot of stuff for Disney, but, you know, they have a team of artists, and I was simply painting their stuff. It came to me already drawn. So, but I did get a client, Live Home Video, where they would give me the animated children's short, you know, 30 minutes usually, and then they would put several of those on one videotape when VHS was really big in the 90s. And I did, you know, a couple hundred of those. That was my living. And then, worked with Sesame Street Magazine for a number of years, illustrating that magazine. That was a lot of fun. I did a lot of Big Bird, a lot of Cookie Monsters, and a lot of Fur and Feathers. And but in 2003, I woke up to 9/11, and I have not been the same since, because I immediately became very argumentative and very angry at the situation. And you know, I think everyone goes through it once they wake up to, if they go into the rabbit hole and they start to, study and research what's actually happening to us. You know, you're gonna, if you know, if you're married to a person who doesn't see you're gonna be. I don't know how people can stay married. You know, it almost divides people. You know,
9/11, so I'm sure has dissolved a lot of unions. Sure.
Sure. Well, you know, you don't want to, if somebody
politics.
Can't wake, huh?
Politics.
Politics. Yeah. Don't talk about politics or religion, right?
That's right.
But, you know, you slap this book down in front of somebody, and you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, I took it with me to the pub, and it's nice to hand it over and see people's faces as they look through it. It's quite a hit.
Well, it's nice that you did put a little background in there. I think that is something that people don't know. You know, it's interesting when people don't know a lot about someone. It in this day of surveillance and spying and tabloid expositions of people's lives and People Magazine and Sheeple Magazine and all those magazines, We, Us, Them, They, It, you know, so many of them now, it's crazy. Gossip, lies, it doesn't matter. Someone comes to the fore like you have and you know, has privacy, and that's a right that we all have that many people have lost and forgotten that it's a God-given right. And it kind of rankles people. Who is it? It kind of gets under their skin. Who is he? Who is he? And so you've been very kind, and I did read what you wrote in it, and it's very nice. And I think people will really appreciate that. Now, again, this thing, and you're doing this, I guess, more and more, literally putting the book down or handing it to someone and sitting around a table or being with them, and they start to thumb through it. And you were telling me how you watch their faces. In our last visit on the program here, how you watch their faces. That must be really amazing for an artist to do that. And you're more than an artist, of course, but to watch someone's mind engage what you've done and created like that, it's got to be fun.
A lot of fun. It's the most you could hope for as an artist, you know, to put a painting on the wall and have somebody look at it. But on this level of presenting so many concepts, so fast, it's really, well, it's the way the world is moving. It's really fast information.
Super, super fast. You really deserve to be nominated for a Pulitzer. We all know it's a corrupted award system, but you should be nominated easily. You've taken journalism and political art. It's more than political art. It's art of the planet, planetary art, to an unprecedented level, and that's worthy of extraordinary observation and awareness. Back
it is
in
a piece
minute.
Of history.
Oh, it's huge. You got it. All right. Be right back with David Dees. This new book is ready, and order it right now. Just look at the big ad on the homepage at Rents.com. This is a book you'll always keep. It is a piece of history. It's a recording of history. The current ad up there shows one of David's incredible classics, big screen TV, and a man and a woman watching it, and coming out the back of the TV are the tentacles of control, the octopus, and it's coming at him. The screen itself, of course, has a pinwheel for mesmerizing and putting the mind into an altered state so they can pump whatever they want right on into it. Great cover. Victor Fletcher, the editor-publisher of the Toronto Street News, called and said to thank you. He's used many of your pieces of art on the front cover of his newspaper up in Toronto.
Hmm. I didn't know about that. Did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good piece. I like the octopus arms coming from the TV, and the children are maybe the mom on the right. There's a tentacle coming out behind her, and on the left is the little boy with it wrapped completely around him.
Yeah,
it's a pretty funny but frightening. One guy wrote that. What did he say? That my humor, horror, and awareness. That's the way you describe my art. It's humor, horror, and awareness. I think that's the It's a pretty good
translation
of what I'm
sure.
doing.
Yeah. The other issue of television is, and this is important, you parents out there probably have heard me say this, grandparents, the first time you put your child in front of commercial television, or kind of almost any TV anymore, is the day that your child has been put in the process of being taken away and programmed against you. That's unfortunately the way it works. It's building new allegiances. It's building awe and respect and subservience and non-responsibility and non-accountability and all the rest of it. It's also catering to latent and nascent sexual urges in young people. Yeah, I'm talking about kids. Little girls, they're pole dancing kits for five-year-old girls now. Come on. So it's all there. And don't put your kids in front of TV. Don't use TV as a babysitter. If you stop the television, your child will begin to draw and paint and write and read within a couple of days. There'll be a little withdrawal there, depending on how long and how severe the addiction is. And it is a physical addiction. It's a psychological, neurological, electric, chemical, neurochemical addiction. And it's tough to break. So anyway, it's a great piece of art.
Well, we know that Hollywood is MK Ultra controlled, so you can only imagine the all the programming. Well, why do they call it programming, right?
Exactly.
It's such a mind prison they create, and wow. And the art has in its presentation, it's sort of deprogrammed. I like to think when people look at it, I'm trying my best to maybe deprogram people that have been completely taken over. Maybe pull them back from the dark. I do the best I can.
That's great. Where's the art going now? Are you just trying to stay riding the crest of the wave of what we call current events? Are you going to try and weave any other themes into it?
Well, I know that some of the stuff I do, I tend to just go with whatever I'm passionate about, whatever if I have an idea, I go with it.
Well, you know, and now I want to suggest that that's good because you're probably listening and viewing the world on levels that, you know, you're not consciously aware of. And so what percolates up to the conscious mind is probably very important in most cases because of what's happening around you.
Right. And people don't really know that much about me, I suppose. But I'm not a religious person, but I'm a highly spiritual person. I've actually had a very interesting outer-body experience where I was outside my body for a good 30 minutes with full perception up above the trees, and I was looking at my body sitting on the bench. I stayed close to it. I knew I could go anywhere I wanted to go, but I didn't, and I felt, I looked at, you know, I could look down. There was no feet. You know, I was up in the air, and it was in white space. So I've had some really interesting experiences the last, and that was only 2 years ago. So things are happening for me that I really want to illustrate coming up. I believe that I'm going to be presenting things. I don't know what they're going to be. I just know that I'm going to hit upon something, and I'm going to tap into something here, and I believe to keep your eye on what I come up with. I do want to show people stepping outside of this reality of the horror that we are looking at. I mean, I'm not sure I'm going to present it, but yeah. Look for more optimistic pieces. Some of it has gotten really dark. I think I've well, you know, when you got you know, Fukushima poisoning the whole Pacific Ocean, that's, you know, that's extremely dark. Because, you know, what do you think is going to stop there? It's only going to, you know, all the oceans are connected. So, and all the, you know, I think over half of the population of the planet lives on the coastline. So.
I think it's more than half, but it's whatever it is, it's enormous, and they're right. So, they're right there. You're exactly correct. It's steamrolling the planet, and I don't.
Yeah.
The people that try to pass this off as some kind of an intentional event are government agents. They're or crazy. It was a damned earthquake, a huge earthquake that ripped up a very poorly thought out and constructed nuclear power plant built right on the edge of the ocean on fill dirt. Stupid. The dumbest design you could possibly imagine, putting these spent fuel pools, which have to deal with these fuel rods, 50 to 100,000 years, 100 meters off the ground. It's crazy. I don't know how many meters exactly, but it's five stories. So there you go.
There you go. Where do we go from here? You know, I guess what I'm going to illustrate is the plight of humanity. You know, people have compared me, my work to Norman Rockwell in the sense, you know, he sort of illustrated, if you don't know Norman Rockwell, type that in. He was from the early 1900s. He illustrated the American dream, you know, or, you know, how they presented what they wanted people to think of as America, you know, very patriotic, very apple pie.
He represented America. He did the cover of a magazine called the Saturday Evening Post for I don't know how many decades. Just a wonderful artist. That was one of the first things I said to you. You're a Norman Rockwell.
Well, I've heard that a lot of times. I prefer to think of myself as a nightmare Rockwell. So it's sort of the flip side because
well, our times have changed, and you fit the times.
Yeah. But when I was in my first year of college, you know, I went to pre-med, and I found that giant Norman Rockwell book, and I snuck it out of the library and held it in my room, because you weren't supposed to, you know, take it out of the library. I had to. I snuck it out, and I looked at it every day, and at the end of the year, I snuck it back in. So they were probably happy to get their book back. They didn't know who took it. It was me. I didn't keep it. But it had a huge effect on me. That and the Salvador Dali; those were my two huge influences early on.
He was a real amazing man, Dali. People don't know about him. There are a couple of documentaries out there. I have them, Salvador Dali, on DVD, and Wild Guy. Very interesting. He directed one of them. He was in it, and he directed it. He was, I guess, in his 70s at the time. But what a visionary!
Sure. Very a surrealist. I was kind of influenced to, my stuff is kind of surreal.
It sure is. You know, you could even go further with that at some point, here and there, once in a while. You could have fun. You haven't even begun to push the boundaries of the potential of the medium you have created.
I think you're right. It's sort of become an art form that, you know, you look around, it really wasn't anything like this before, and yeah, I've kind of perfected it because I've done so many pieces, and people say that when they look at these illustrations that they can immediately tell I did it. So I certainly have a style that I've kind of go by. It's done with photography. It's cut together and composed just like an illustration. You know, that's how I do it. I used to, for 20 years, I was drawing on tissue paper and then tracing it onto illustration board and then airbrushing it, mixing acrylic paint. I had, all these squirt bottles, and I was squirting them into the airbrush.
Too, I'll bet, yeah.
What's that?
You got sick from that stuff.
I got very sick because I inhaled a lot of this acrylic paint, and it turns out that the cadmium yellow, which was the brightest of the yellows, it turned out they actually had cadmium in it. You know, who knew? I got real sick from it. And luckily, computers came along, and I turned all digital, but I still have the effects of it. I'm hypersensitive to any chemicals now. If I get just a few breaths, though. Anybody out there, watch out for, what did they call it when you have a job where you're exposed to toxicity and the miners and with the black lung is the same sort of thing. So watch out for that. It's a toxic planet. It's a very poisonous planet. And I guess the illustrations, I try to warn people about stuff, you know. I warn them about GMO and that new illustration with the Monsanto farmer and they had genetically spliced a grasshopper.
The watermelon.
So they're doing, you can only imagine what they're doing in those laboratories where we can't see them.
And they are. They are doing it. Yeah, that's it already.
Wow, Zoom. That was fast.
All right, let's tell the folks again how to order the book real quick.
You know, I do have 5 more of the limited editions left, okay? They're $100 a piece, and it's a whole package you get. It's very collectible. If you just go to ddees.com, ddees.com, and email me, get my email address, and I will be able to send that to you.
Oh, good. All right, yeah. So there are a few left. Very good.
Yeah, there's 5 left. I made a few extras in, just in case anything happened, and so I'm going to just say that they're available if you want to grab one, because they'll definitely be gone tonight.
Well, in 5 years, those 5 left will probably be worth many hundreds of dollars, if not more. So. All right, David, thanks for being here again. Congratulations on the book. We'll keep watching and keep helping, so you're there.
Thank you, and I want to say hello to Earth Star. I'll see you later.
All right. Good night.
Bye. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, and that's another... What a week. Wow. Weekend coming up. Hope you have a good one. Take care. We'll be with you, of course, right on the network, right around the clock, Saturday, Sunday, and be back Sunday night with our Encore of the Week presentation and start again on Monday, the first full week of November, the fast-fading year of 2013. Good night.